It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 24, and we're going to begin reading with the 32. And so please, that you are able to follow along, I hope. If not, just listen carefully. I'd love for you to be a part of the study today. Matthew chapter 24, verse 32. And while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. I'm just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to call us here, it's 217-847-2717. If you'd like to check out our website, I'd love for you to do that. We've got many studies there for you, and it's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. That's parkviewbiblechurch.org. And if you'd like to email us, you could email us at parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. Either one will work just fine. Hope I have enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. Matthew chapter 24, and we're going to begin, with 32, and we may back up just a little bit to verse 29 and kind of give us into the study, but we'll actually start down at verse 32. Matthew 24:29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heavens shall be shaken. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. He shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heaven to the other. Now, learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came, took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, one shall be taken, another left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, one shall be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. We're going to stop there at that verse 42, and we're going to begin with prayer. Father, thank you that we can come today, enjoy this precious time. It is such a joy, Father, to be able to study your precious word and read your scripture. I thank you that you have kept us at and into the old King James and not moved into other versions, other writings, because, Father, this is so clear, so simple to understand. I don't know why anyone continues to try to change it, except for the hand of the devil is with them. And so, Father, please that you just guide and lead us each and every day. Hold us in this precious word. Show us your truth. Bring, Father, folks that don't know you as their Savior, that you would call them today. Show them that they're a sinner. Show them that they need a Savior. And your love, you love them so much, Father, that you sent your Son to die on the cross for them. And so, please, that today, they will say yes to you by faith. By faith alone, they will call upon you, not connecting it with any kind of works or thing that they can do, but just believing that you, Father, through your Son, can save them. So please, I just ask for your direction and strength today as we have this wonderful study, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look at this 32nd verse here, it says, "Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh." And so we're going to stop right there, first of all, and then we're going to go to the Gospel of Luke, because it's so important that we understand what is being said here by this parable. And a lot of people place a lot of emphasis on other scripture verses and believe that they are parables. If it is a parable, God tells it's a parable. If he doesn't tell us clearly, then it's not a parable. It's something that truly took place and really happened. And so understand that to begin with. Luke chapter 13, beginning to read with verse 6. "He spake also this parable." Once again, very clear that it is a parable. "A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. He came and sought fruit thereon, found none. Then said he unto the dresser of the vineyard, 'Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground?' And he answering said unto him, 'Lord, let it alone this year also, till I dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down.'" As we look at this wonderful parable of the fig tree, understand that it has a tremendous meaning and tremendous picture for the nation of Israel. This tender plant that it speaks of here was birthed back here in 1948. And so we can find that it has become a tender plant, as it speaks here. This fig tree, Israel, was planted in a vineyard in Palestine. It had not had its own land, and yet that nation spread all around the world, held their place. God held their place for them. And in 1948, by a miracle, nothing like that had ever happened before, had brought that nation back, small remnant of it, and gave them a portion of their land back in Palestine. So we find that is when it became a tender plant. So ever since 1948, that plant has been growing. It has been producing leaves, as it says here in verse 32 of the Matthew 24. "Now learn of the parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender, putteth forth leaves." That's what it's doing right now. It's putting forth leaves. It has not put forth any fruit. And he spake also, I don't want to move too quickly here so that you can't keep up. I've kept my hand in the same place. Luke chapter 13, verse 6. "And he spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in the vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereof and found none." As we look back in Matthew 32, 24:32, it brought forth leaves, not fruit. Leaves, but not fruit. As we look at this, we find that the owner of this is God. Came in the person of Jesus Christ. Was here 3 years. As we read here in the 7th verse of Luke 13:7. Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit and find none. Jesus came to seek and to save all that will listen. But his ministry when he was here on earth was directed to the Jews, to Israel. And of that 3 years of ministry that he had, all the miracles that he performed, and he raised the dead, and he healed the lame, he replaced the blind with sight, so much that he did to show that he was God. And then, as was prophesied clearly back in Isaiah, that he would come, and he would die on a cross, crucifixion, no question. And then 3 days later, he would raise again. So he not only took care of our sin because he was the perfect sacrifice, and when he died on that cross, he took all of our sin upon him. This is what Jesus took care of when he was here on earth. He took care of our sin, took it away. What a joy. Took it away. What a joy to come and to look and to seek and to save those that are lost. And yet, they would not listen. This parable back in Luke 13 is so sad. Then when the dresser of the vineyard, behold, these 3 years, came seeking fruit on this fig tree and found none, cut it down. Why cumbereth the ground? Cut it down. And in this parable here, he gives them just a little more time. Answering and said unto him, Lord, let alone this year also, till I digged about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after thou shalt cut it down. Now we know what took place, because they were set aside. The tree was literally cut down. However, back in 1948, those roots were still there, still had life in them, and they brought forth this tender plant. And that tender plant's been growing, been producing leaves, no fruit. But when the tribulation comes, and it's coming very soon, there's going to be a multitude of Israelites, Jews, saved. Finally, there will be fruit. Finally. What a joy it is. At the same time, it just breaks your heart to think of all the millions of Jews that have lived and have not accepted the Lord Jesus as their Messiah all these 2,000 years, and even 1,000 years before that. They did not accept that he was going to be their Savior. And even the days when they had the tabernacle and then the temple, they missed the pictures that it was a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus and how he was going to come. The sacrifice must be made on the Day of Atonement, all those things that took place on the Day of Atonement. That was so important. If you've not studied the Old Testament, especially the five books of Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, you've really missed it, because it's such a joy to study and to look and to see all the beautiful pictures that we have there of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and his ministry that he fulfilled. Beautiful. All those years they had those pictures to prepare them for when Jesus would come. And when he came, they rejected him. And so, what a sad day. And so, yes, the tree was cut down, removed the nation from his vineyard. But Jesus extended the season, because cutting down this tree did not kill the roots. This young plant, the leaves, then fruit. So when we look at this, we see that when the leaves come, we know it's soon. We know it's soon. Again, in May of 1948, the tender plant was started to grow. Now putting on leaves. And if you'll look the last many years, as you look at the nation, the land of Palestine, of the Jews, Israel is in, you'll see that it's taken a barren land, and through the will of God, as he has brought them back. And today you'll see great wheat fields, you'll see beautiful orchards, you'll see all kinds of vegetables. All this is being grown in this barren region now. So you see, yes, the leaves are there. And I just said that there is wheat and fruit trees and vegetables. But the great fruit that needs to come to the nation of Israel is their salvation. That's a spiritual fruit. And to this point, they're still missing that. But when the church is raptured, the tribulation begins, you're going to see multitudes increase. It's already going on now, but you're going to see multitudes increase as they flow in to the land of Palestine. And there's going to be literally millions of Israelites saved. What a wonderful day. What a wonderful day. And so when we come back now to the Matthew, and we look at the scripture verses here in verse 32. Now learn, I'm Matthew 24:32. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When its branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. When you shall see all these things. Israel's coming home. We see that. There's false Christs everywhere. There's false teaching. There's so many different versions of God's precious word that they've put out there to dilute it so that it doesn't have the power to convict the heart. It changes God's precious word. Well, you can change it, but that word is still true. You can change the word so that man, when man reads it, it doesn't have the power. But God's word doesn't change. So no matter what we try to do to it, it will never change. God's truth. And if you think that there's another way to get into the presence of God, if you think there's another way to be born again, to be saved, you're mistaken, because God tells us so clearly that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But when you call upon him, you call upon him alone. So often today, you don't hear of anybody getting saved. But somebody says, oh, I'm so happy and so proud because they got baptized. Well, what about their heart? I don't care how many times they're baptized, whether it's sprinkled or immersed. I don't care. What I care about is your decision. And yes, you should follow the Lord in baptism afterwards, not for your salvation, just to show everybody else what's happened to your heart. So you see, we need to get back to the truth. Just because man has changed it, God did not. And God's going, you're going to have to answer to him. And so unless you come by faith to him and him alone. So you see, when you shall see these things, we have Israel coming home. They're going to Palestine in great numbers. Again, so many fake and false churches and religions. We got rumors of war. We got nation after nation trying to take care of each other. We have famine. We have pestilence. We have earthquakes. And what does the scripture say? It says, know that it is near, even at the doors. Even at the doors. Now, you know, this whole section here is not talking about the rapture of the church. This is talking about his revelation, his second coming, when he's going to come and plant his feet upon this earth. That's what this is all talking about. So we know that the rapture, when he comes to take his believers, his church, his true church, those that have come by faith to him and him alone, not by any works connected with it, none. He's going to come and take his church. Because you see, there's a 7-year span before the revelation of Jesus. In other words, when he comes and all will see him. There's 7 years between there. So he must come, and he must come quickly, because everything is in place. Everything is in place. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. This generation, there is a couple of thoughts on this, that it means race or family. But it would seem that this is speaking of the generation which is living when these things come to pass, when they occur. And since these things are happening right now, it must be soon. Because we, I believe, are living in that generation today. It continues. Verse 35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. That's what I was speaking of a little bit earlier. I don't care what somebody says or doesn't say, because God's word will never leave. You can change the written word that we have before us to take away its power and strength, but God's word doesn't change. So you need to stay and recognize God's precious word. Heaven and earth. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. We got a couple things here, because there are three heavens. And so let's take a look back here in 2 Corinthians, chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2. And here is a wonderful example of the third heaven. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knows. Such an one was caught up into the third heaven. The third heaven. So if it speaks of a third heaven, then there's got to be a first and a second. And we know the first heaven is the one that's right above us where the birds fly. And the next is where the stars and the sun and the moon, all the planets are located. And the third, of course, is God's home. So we have the three. We have the three. Let's go, and I hope you just held on back there, because we're going to go on back to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3. Second Peter chapter 3, verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought ye to be in holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. And then verse 13, nevertheless we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. So you see, we find that the first heaven and the second heaven will be dealt with, but the third heaven, once again, is God's house. But my word shall not pass away. I love that when we come back to verse 35. Heaven and earth shall pass away. All these things are going to come to pass, and man is so worried about holding on and protecting this earth. We are not destroying this earth. We need to be good stewards, yes, but not to be so ridiculous in the things that are done that we really and literally can promote starvation. We can promote famine because of what man is doing. We need to enjoy the blessings that God has given us. And we need to understand that there's going to be a day when this is going to pass away. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words. So no matter how much they try to change it, they will not be able to affect it. What a beautiful, beautiful day to be able to stand and know God's word, God's truth. And one more thing to point out today before we have to go, and that is verse 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. My Father only. We will look up next time we're together back in Mark. And we're going to go to 1 Thessalonians, and we've got several wonderful areas to look at, to study. And so please, that you don't miss the next opportunity of coming together, but please that you come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You trust in him as your Savior. You call upon him, and he will save you. You must do that. Do not face the tribulation period. I desire with all my heart that you would come today and say yes to the Lord Jesus and begin this wonderful walk. So, my dear friend, the question comes, what are you going to do about Jesus?